This is The Drive on KFH.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Monday edition of The Drive on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, we're in the host chairs. Max Power produces and engineers the show at 869-1240. That's the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline. We welcome your participation today. On a cold, blustery day outside.
It's not that cold.
My dog's scared of the wind. It's pretty cold.
All right.
This isn't the kind of day you want to go out and frolic in.
Not necessarily, but it's upper 40s.
Maybe it's not cold to you people who live out in the hinterlands where there's nothing to block the wind. But it's cold to us city slickers.
Wait, if there's nothing to block the wind, wouldn't that make it colder?
Yeah. Colder where you are.
You just said it wasn't cold where
maybe,
I was.
I'm saying maybe you built up a resistance in your 5 days as a country liver to where the cold doesn't affect you as much. Maybe you're finally getting that tough exterior.
Why do I
that
need?
I've hoped you'd get for 37
Why
years.
Why would I need a tough exterior?
Maybe you're finally learning what it's like to live off the land.
I'm not living off
pioneer.
The land. We buy groceries, so I think everything's good.
Why don't you just go out into the woods and find your dinner?
Why would I do that?
This seems like that's what people who live out there do.
You know, I'm very staunchly against killing anything.
Well, but what about eating? I saw you get a chicken fried steak. How do you think we make those?
Well, I didn't kill it. Some chickens on the side of the road driving on 21st Street the other day near 167th.
How are you liking it so far?
I mean, I love it. We're getting our television and internet hooked up tomorrow. Finally, that's been a process because no one serves our area.
No one wants to get out there.
We have trees and they block signals, so now we got to go satellite for both.
So what are you going with?
Dish.
Why not the DirecTV?
Because they didn't have a internet option.
Well, of course they do.
Well, I didn't. We went with Dish. That's what I went with.
DirecTV is part of the AT&T brand.
Well, I don't know. We went with Dish and HughesNet, and we're thrilled with it. Couldn't be happier.
You couldn't be more of an outlier if you wanted to be. HughesNet, I mean,
it's a satellite internet company.
Yeah, nobody.
Obviously checked into AT&T, and they did not help us. They couldn't help us out there. So we're good.
So the quiet. Isn't it eerie or is it soothing?
No, it's not eerie. I love it. What would be eerie about it? It'd be eerie if there were noises.
How often do you get a car passing by on the
road? I haven't heard one yet. We passed one coming home last night, but other than that, I never hear anything like that.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying
it. When
it
was sprinkling rain and kind of drizzling a little bit, didn't hear that. Now when it started pouring, heard it. But everything's great. Everything's quiet. It's dark. It's beautiful.
I wonder when that'll drive you completely mad.
Why would that drive me completely mad?
It did to Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Well, Jack Nicholson in The Shining is a little different from Jeffrey Lutz.
Pretty soon you'll be knocking
Andale.
Here's Jeffy.
I don't know if that's the case or not. It feels weird being back in the old studio. It's a weird day.
It is a weird day. I'm trying to overcome it.
I've succumbed to it
already.
We're
in the old studio because we got some technical difficulties with our headphones in the other studio. So we're over here with Max, who's worked more in 3 minutes than Tom Thurber did in three years.
Max is doing a ton over there.
I hope Tom's not listening.
Why would he be mean-spirited. Yeah, Tommy was fantastic.
Tom gets it.
Tommy and Max are good friends now, so Max gave you the side eye when you said that.
Did you not like that, Max? We love Tommy. Everybody knows that.
He doesn't love us.
Tom's fine. Tom loves us in
his way. No, he doesn't.
In his way.
He's so done with us, and he couldn't care less about it.
That's how Tom is.
I know.
He's a martyr. Are we going to talk about Tom Thurber for an hour?
We could.
I don't know that the listeners care.
I don't have any
nothing against Tom,
to
but I mean, that's like talking about me for an hour, although they would care about that.
You think?
We went down to the Derby campus game Friday night.
We sure did.
Made the trek. Two observations. Fun game.
Quite.
Enjoyable to watch. Really good athletes on both sides.
Kind of some contrasting styles.
Can I say this as a Derby grad? That gym's way too small. That gym is a 3A gymnasium.
It's just an outdated gymnasium. It's not even really.
It was outdated the day they built it.
You think? Well, Derby, they like their tradition and their, you know.
There's nothing about that gym. It's just a gym. It's like, I'm going to gym class. Here's the gym. It's not, let's take our family to the basketball game tonight and enjoy the.
But you didn't like the atmosphere in some ways. It was packed.
It was packed.
Standing room only, as Steve Shod mentioned on Twitter.
It was jam-packed, which I like a little room.
Yeah, it would have been nice, but it was a fun game. And
it was a fun game.
It was the marquee game of the night.
I'm not pointing out that I didn't enjoy the game.
But aren't you glad you got your eyes on campus for the first time this season?
Yeah, I felt guilty about not seeing them. It was fun to see Derby, and I'll say this, as I told you during the game, one of the reasons they're as competitive as they are is that the football mindset kind of just sweeps through that entire school, taking nothing away from Brent Flory, their coach.
Brett,
their coach. Who does a really good job.
Yeah, he's been a good coach for them.
But Trey Washington, without him, where are they in that game?
They're nowhere, unless they make more perimeter shots, which they struggled with at times. But, yeah, Trey Washington was the best player for Derby that night, no question about it. How do you get to the basket at, like, 5'11", when you're going against every player on campus was bigger than Trey Washington?
Because he's tough.
I know, but that doesn't always.
See, these are athletes that I have experience with.
You do.
Seeing guys that rise above their physical limitations because their mental limitations don't exist.
Those are the guys you're drawn to. I'm drawn to the guys who are wildly talented, but maybe a little lazy.
Well, you fit some of that, especially the last part.
You don't think I was wildly talented?
No.
That's too bad.
Don't think you were wildly talented because you didn't work hard enough at it.
But you know, I like the Latrell Sprewells, the guys who could have been amazing, but were just really good instead. I like
Why do you like those guys?
I don't know.
What does that say about you?
I don't know what it says about
does
me.
Does it say that you're willing to accept less than the best?
I guess it must.
Are you willing
in
to do
in some way. Of course.
Are you willing to accept less than the best with your daughter?
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's a good question. That made you pause.
What is the best? Her best or the best?
Her best.
Does she? No.
Well, did Latrell Sprewell accept less than his best?
A little, yeah.
And did you admire it?
But he got paid a ton of money.
Did you admire it?
And he was the third best player on a Knicks team that was okay.
Do you accept less than your best?
I don't want to answer that question. That's too hard to answer.
Oh, man, we've hit a...
That's an
869-1240
question that I don't want to deal
with. We're going to talk Shockers. We're going to talk with Luke Barnwell of Sunrise Academy, see what kind of a talent he has with another nationally prominent basketball program. And we're going to talk to Wichita State baseball coach Eric Wedge. And if I pose that same question to Eric Wedge...
Well, I hope we don't have to have that conversation Wedge.
He will bury you.
He will. But it's not like... Well, I don't want to say that.
If I ask Eric Wedge, what do you think of people who are okay with accepting less than their absolute best? He'll come through the phone line.
Well, I'd like to hear him address that question potentially. Because,
well, he's a coach. It's his job to get the best out of people.
Right, but it's also his job to be the best coach / manager / former front office person. He wants to push himself to be the absolute best in his professions, right?
Well, yes. I mean, it takes 4 seconds talking to Eric Wedge to know that's the case.
Right. So there are some questions I have for Eric Wedge. First of which is, well, I'll ask him when he's...
No, we're not going to talk to him about the Cleveland Indians.
I'm not going to ask him about the Cleveland Indians. I'm going to ask a guy who managed in the big leagues... What it's like to be out there in front of 60 people, or maybe there were more, I don't know, on a February midweek afternoon against Texas Southern. Do you think he loves that? Do you think he just was like...
I absolutely think he loves it.
Okay.
And if you try to insinuate any other... He will knock...
No, I'm out. Listen, I will ask him.
I feel like there's a confrontation coming...
Between me and Eric Wedge?
Between you and Eric Wedge.
Well, it'd be
and I know who's gonna win it.
Well,
he would,
I would like to be put in my place by Eric Wedge, because I did think about that. This is a guy who managed in the American League Championship Series and was manager of the year in the American League, and now he's facing 0-9 Texas Southern out of Houston during the week, or during a weekend, a Saturday doubleheader in the cold. Did he like it?
He liked it. He won.
Right, I know. And
they got a couple of W's. You're damn right he liked it.
And they're 4-2 now.
You're going to get me fired up in a minute.
I don't want anybody
did
to
he
get...
like it?
Did he?
Of course he did.
Okay, then I'll take your word for it.
I mean, what kind of question is that?
It's a realistic question.
So you're thinking a guy that's been in the big leagues, it's cold in Cleveland, by the way, and
right,
you think they're
also,
drawn?
He's also putting Grady Sizemore in the
you
lineup.
You think in an April midweek game, they're filling it up?
Not
they got
necessarily.
About 23 people, like you said.
But he's also penciling in Travis Hafner in the four hole and Victor Martinez and Grady Sizemore.
I bet he loves this more.
You think?
And how dare you even...
But isn't that a fair question? Would we?
No.
It's not. So if
and
Aaron...
I'll give you $2 if you ask it.
If Aaron Boone...
Here's the thing, Max. I'll give him $2 if he asks it without stuttering. Because I will guarantee you once you... That'll be so deep in your brain, like, I'm asking Eric what he's going to kill me.
And well, let him kill
so
me.
So that's going to be an unbelievable moment in this show. You'll want to hear it, folks. Here's how I predict it go. Eric, I got a question. When you...
Really?
Yes.
Why would I be afraid of Eric Wedge?
You know you are. You're squirming over there right now.
Well, I squirm all the time.
We're an hour and a half from the interview.
I'm a nervous tick type of person.
I can't wait for that moment in
this
show.
So if Aaron Boone's the coach at South Florida next year, he would love playing Stetson in the midweek.
Eric Wedge was not managing in the big leagues last year.
I understand
that. He was working
in
the Toronto Blue Jays front office. He made the decision that this was a good time for him to make this leap. He's explained it numerous times. This is his alma mater. He won a national championship here.
Of course.
He decided that he would rather coach at Wichita State than wait for a big league job to come open. And he made the right decision. He made a decision that he's completely comfortable with. He's not thinking in the dugout on Saturday afternoon, man, I could be in Toronto right now in a jacuzzi.
Well, he'd be in Dunedin, Florida.
Whatever, wherever he is.
Eating Major League catering and with Major League transportation.
So, again, you're going to ask him the question, and I can't wait for his – well, first it'll take about 10 minutes for you to get the question out.
Well, why can't it just be an honest, you know –
Well, it can be.
But it's not, I'm not – I mean,
see,
no ill will.
You're already doing it.
But I have ill will toward him for this question. It's a fair question.
It's a fair question, and I can't wait for you to ask it.
Okay, then I will.
I wish I could move forward to that interview.
Well, we'll get there in an hour or so. We'll be there. It'll
869-1240, the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. We would love to hear from you today. Wichita State drops another close one to Cincinnati. I think they've played 6 games now in the 3 years the Shockers have been in the conference, none decided by more than 4 points. That's a rivalry.
It's a great rivalry. It would be nice if Wichita State could finish a couple of these off
because
they've lost the last 5.
3.2 seconds left. Why do you throw the long pass?
Why do you call the timeout before the second free
throw? I'm not
that
worried about that.
I am.
I'm worried about why you throw the long pass.
I don't know.
That has very little chance of success. Not that anything you do has a great chance for success, but you'd think you'd throw a half-court pass.
But if you have a timeout left, you can throw the half-court pass and then call timeout with 2.5 seconds left and set up a play. I didn't get the timeout before the last free throw. Can you explain it to me?
You know what? I went back and rewatched it. I'd have to do it again to really give you an explanation. He called the timeout after the first free throw was missed by the young man from Cincinnati, probably to talk about what they were going to do on a make or a miss. So
I know, but you can do that after the shot. Get the rebound, call timeout. Make it, throw it in to half court, call timeout. I don't get why that was the time for the...
I didn't question that. Like you are, I question the three-quarter length pass. Don't get it.
No, it didn't work out, and they sort of got a shot at the end that would have tied it, but not a great look.
And then you got Cumberland. Boy, is Wichita going to be happy? I'll bet you there's Wichita State fans at his college graduation.
Well, yeah, just to be a welcome sight for him to go.
Just to make sure he's getting that diploma on his way out. I've never seen a guy wreak more havoc.
Well, he took over the game again by getting to the free throw line constantly. Missed a few that could have put it away, but... Does Wichita State have a guy like that? Well, Wichita
Very
State
few teams have a guy like that. They'd love Fred VanVleet was that guy. They'd love to have a guy like that. They don't grow on trees.
No, but it would be like Greg Marshall said in the sound that we heard leading into the show. It would be nice for Wichita State to develop a player like that.
Well, you don't develop them.
Yeah, you do.
No, you come ready-made with that kind of stuff. That's not a development thing, in my opinion. You can help a guy, but Cumberland is just that guy. As a five-year-old, he was that guy.
So where is Wichita State's
guy? He was probably pushing people aside to get to the Christmas presents or the birthday cake. I mean, you understand that.
I get it. So what's the disconnect with Wichita State?
When he got his toy at Christmas, he opened it before anybody else.
I don't know what that means.
Think about it. It makes perfect sense.
So Wichita State, where do they go to find a guy like that?
They're hard to find. Trey Washington's probably that guy.
Wait, who?
For Derby. Trey Washington.
Okay. Yeah, but he's 5'9".
Right. He's got a lot of Cumberland in him, and you can spot him a mile away.
There's got to be a guy who's 6'5" who's got some Cumberland in him.
I've seen a lot of Cumberlands in my life.
Yeah, but Cumberland has the prototypical, he has the attributes. He's not just getting by on toughness. He's a good athlete, and he's built like a good athlete, and he has skills.
Yeah,
he got skills.
His number one thing is his mental fortitude. The guy is tough, and he won't be beaten. I admire him. I don't necessarily like him.
Why can't Wichita State beat him? Other teams beat him. Cincinnati's not great.
They're not great.
They're okay.
Nobody in the American's great. And we'll talk more about the Shockers coming up in the second segment. And tomorrow we'll have in the third segment. And tomorrow we'll get Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle and Kansas.com on the show to talk about the Shockers a little bit more. They are currently an 11 seed. I'm surprised they continue to be in Joe Lunardi's bracketology because I'll get into this a little bit more. When you look at their resume, it's sketchy.
Not a whole lot there, I agree.
Max, let's take a break. We're going to visit with Sunrise Academy basketball coach Luke Barnwell and find out a little bit about what that program has this year, who the top prospects are for Sunrise, where some of those guys are going. And Luke does a great job out there. They have a tremendous basketball program. It's a prep school. They get very little notoriety, although there was a nice story in the Wichita Eagle over the weekend about Sunrise. We'll talk to him next. This is A Drive on KFH.